Take your Bibles just for a moment. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Not a typical Christmas passage, but I think it gives immense meaning to Christmas. From the words of the one who was born. You know, I think this morning, Christmas has been hijacked. It's become a time of make-believe. Everybody pretends. Somehow we break out the tinsel and the lights and the sparkly balls and we get out all the food and everybody smiles and pretends, at least for a little while, it's a winter wonderland. And because of that, I think more and more and more and more, particularly in a year like this, when it's 78 degrees the day before Christmas, you hear people say, somehow, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. Ever ask yourself where that came from? Whoever it was that came up with the grand scheme that somehow Christmas was a feeling, sold you and me a bill of goods. I'm here to tell you this morning, Christmas is a fact. It's not a feeling. Oh, nobody likes the feelings more than me. I love the feelings. But do you realize this morning that if you sit here in this service and it still doesn't feel like Christmas to you, it's still Christmas. The feelings are great. They're an addition. I think they help. But there's too many people this morning who, due to difficulties in life, due to question marks in life, due to problems in life, somehow have been convinced that for them, it's not Christmas. When the reality of it is, even as you heard in this story, Christmas happened because of a crisis. Oh, there was the crisis that Mary had. Think of it. 9 months of public humiliation. 9 months of the threat of possibly being put to death for being immoral. Then she has to make this incredible journey at the time she is expecting, and she has no control over it. I've heard of bumpy rides on the way to the hospital, but very few who have had to ride for days on the back of a donkey. And yet she gets there and there's no place because the city is absolutely thronging with displaced people, none of which are happy because they're coming to pay taxes. And she has to deliver her first child, literally in a cattle trough, not some fluffy little manger. And as if that isn't enough, she really doesn't even have time to potty train her first child. And the angel shows up again and he says, time to go to Egypt. Not a place they wanted to go. And they get displaced for 2 years. Listen, Christmas, the first Christmas, happened in a crisis. It wasn't all ideal. It wasn't picturesque as though we see it somehow in the little snow globe that there they are in the manger and you shake it and the snow falls and it's all surreal. It's a crisis. But you know, that wasn't the greatest crisis of Christmas. Think of why Christmas happened. It happened because a long time before in a garden, Adam chose to sin. When he did, the God of heaven that made him said, you will surely die. And he surely did. He died spiritually and eventually he died physically. And everyone that has followed him as the head of our race was born dead. Born without eternal life. Born with a crisis, separated from God. Born into a world filled with sin. Born in a world not just filled with crisis, but a world that's become all too good at making them. Relationships are in crisis. Families are in crisis. Culture is in crisis. Our teenagers are in crisis because we live in a sin-cursed world that's become all too good at creating crises. You know what? God knew all about it. And even from the time in that garden, he said, there's one day coming a seed, singular, from a woman. When he comes, his heel will be bruised, but he's going to crush the head of a serpent, the one that had led Adam and Eve to make a sinful choice. And you know, all throughout the Scriptures, they looked for him. A Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And on Christmas morning, Christ came to our crisis, just as God planned. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them who were under the law. Do you realize what it means to be under the law? Under it and condemned. Under it, guilty. Under it, hopeless. And He came, made under the law, though He never broke it, so He might redeem us who had. Christ came to our crisis. This morning I want you to see in Luke chapter 4, Christ speaks, and I want you to hear why He came. Luke 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to who? To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hear me this morning. You might be sitting here and your heart is broken. It may be you're sitting here this morning and somehow you find yourself at this happy time of the year and your family's in shambles. It could be you've lost your job and you don't know what you're going to do. It could be you just got diagnosed with a health crisis. It could be you're sitting here this morning and you're one of the two families that yesterday and the day before had to make a painful decision that life support was no longer necessary. And so they watched a loved one slip out into eternity. Crisis. You realize, though you may not feel like it's Christmas, the fact of Christmas is for you. He came so that you might hear Him say, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You realize this morning that if you're hurting, Christmas is more for you than it is for all of those who in the world today are making make-believe. This is the reality of Christmas. It's a fact. And you, if you sit here this morning and you don't know what you're going to do, you don't know where to turn, you don't know what to say, the Christ of Christmas is coming to your crisis and He's saying, come to Me. Trust Me. Believe Me. Lean on Me. That's why I came. It may be this morning that your crisis is an eternal one. You don't know today where you're going to spend eternity. If this was your last Christmas, if today you slipped out into eternity, you're not sure where you would spend it. My friend, Christ came to your eternal crisis. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bear witness to the truth that man is lost, that God is good, that He is the Savior. He came to set at liberty those that are bruised and broken spiritually. And today I tell you that on His birthday, if you'll look to Him and realize you can't save yourself, you need a Savior. And you'll cry out to Him and say, oh God, please forgive me. He will. He will. And the reason He came will be true in your life. He'll set you free from the penalty of sin. And He'll give you life like you've never known it. Folks, Christmas has been hijacked. And the reality of it is because we get so caught up in somehow making believe ourselves, we miss the point. Oh, this Christmas, could it be that someone needs you to not smile and definitely not say happy holidays, but not even just to say Merry Christmas? Because sometimes even that little word Merry can be oh so painful. Maybe they need you to bring to them the true message of Christmas. God knows your pain, and He loved you enough to come. You can trust Him. And you can help, truly. Not just make Christmas merry, but make their life merry because of Christ. Fact or feeling? What will this Christmas be for you? Let's pray.